الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه. وبعد، my dear brothers and sisters, Allah سبحانه وتعالى, when we read the seerah of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم, we find that actual action with regard to the propagation of Islam, significant action started only in Medina. Nabi ﷺ spent 13 years in Makkah, and we look at what happened then and so on. But if you look at significant action with regard to the Dawat of Islam, that happened only in Medina. And if we see also the establishment of the state and all of this happened only in Medina. Now, if you look at the reason for that, then that reason is the formation of the Ummah. Formal formation of the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now obviously the Ummah of the Nabi exists from the moment the Nabi comes into being. So it is not as if the formation of the Ummah started on a particular day. As soon as Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was given the mantle of prophethood, obviously all humankind that was there on the face of the planet is automatically his Ummah. But if you look at the actual formal work of establishment of the Ummah, that happened in Medina. The formation of the brotherhood of faith, even though they were, for 13 years they were in Makkah, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam didn't formally form this brotherhood. There were people who were from diverse backgrounds, even in Makkah. Sayyidina Bilal was in Makkah. And other people were there. Suhaib al-Rumi radhiyallahu anhu was in Makkah and so forth. But Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not do the formation of the brother. He didn't make this, you are so and so's brother and so on. That happened only in Medina. And if you see, therefore, what are the elements of brotherhood? What are the elements of the formation of the Ummah? I believe that this is important for us to reflect on and think about and see what we can do in today's world, because that is one of the, if not the most important thing that is missing, and probably the reason for a lot of our trials and tribulations is the fact that this sense of being one, sense of Ummah, has disappeared. So what was it that Rasulullah ﷺ did which brought about the combining of people who in many cases had nothing in common? They were not just different in one way, they were different in almost every way. If you take, for example, the brotherhood that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam made between Abu Darda al-Ansari radhiyallahu anhu, who was Arab, who was from Medina, Arabic speaking. So I'm talking about all the ways in which we define our individuality and our identity. We define it either in terms of location. So I am Hyderabadi, which means I am not Madrasi, I am not a Dilliwala, I am not a, you know, Mumbaikar or whatever, right? I am Hyderabadi. So this is gives me a sense of identity. I am from this place. I am Urdu speaking. My mother tongue is Urdu. My mother tongue is not Tamil. My mother tongue is not Malayalam. My mother tongue is not Hindi. My mother tongue is Urdu. So language gives you a sense of identity. Location, place gives us a sense of identity. Family, I am from such and such a family. My name means this. You know, the Mirza means this. The Beg means this. Yavar is my middle, actually my first name, meaning my personal name is Yavar. I mean, the Mirza and Beg is for all the male members of our family. So all of these things give us a sense of identity, sense of belonging, sense of, so I belong to this, I belong to this, I belong to this. And so also was the case with the Sahaba, obviously. But what did Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam do? So I'm giving you the example of these two people. One was Abu Darda al-Ansari. So Abu Darda al-Ansari, Radhiyallahu anhu, was Arab and so on and so forth, from Medina. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam made for his brother, he gave him Salman al-Farsi. So here is Salman al-Farsi. Who is Salman al-Farsi? Salman al-Farsi radhiyallahu is a Persian, so he is not Arab. He is obviously not from Medina, he is from Persia. Salman al-Farsi, his language is Farsi, it's Persian, not Arabic. Now, everything is different. He looks different, obviously. He is a Iranian or Persian man, so he looks different. So all the points of identity that we draw our belonging from, Rasulullah ﷺ put two people who were completely diverse. And he made them brothers. And they became brothers to such an extent, and we look at the elements of brotherhood, inshallah, as we go forward. But just to complete this story, they became brothers to such an extent that one day Salman al-Farsi radhiyallahu anhu came home and he found Darda radhiyallahu anha, who was herself a great scholar. She was one of the narrators of hadith, and in her own time Darda radhiyallahu anha used to give dars of hadith in Medina in Masjid al-Nabawi. And they say that the whole masjid would be filled with people. So Darda radhiyallahu anha would sit on the minbar and she would give dars of hadith. And the masjid would be filled with people. And there were men in the front and there were women behind. And the Khalifa of the time, who was Malik bin Marwan, he would come and he would sit and listen to this dars, and he would stay in the masjid, and at the time of salah, he would lead the salah for this entire congregation. So this is Darda. Now Darda radhiyallahu anha, when Salman al-Farsi came home, Darda radhiyallahu anha was, he found that she was not looking well, in the sense that she was not sick or something, but she was, you know, she looked like she wasn't really taking care of herself. So, you know, maybe her clothes were not, not ironed, or, I don't think they had irons in those days, but if you know what I mean, it looked unkempt. So he asked, he said, what's wrong with you? Why don't you, you know, look after yourself? I mean, why are you looking like this? So she said, your brother Abu Darda is not interested in me anymore. I'm talking about the sense of closeness. The sense of closeness, the sense of brotherhood between two completely disparate people. So this lady says to him, your brother Abu Darda is not interested in me anymore, so what is the point in me taking care of myself and looking nice and so on and so forth? So Salman al-Farsi said, why do you say that? She said, because he is so engrossed in trying to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he fasts all day and he prays all night. So he has no time for me. So Salman al-Farsi radhiyallahu anhu didn't say anything, he kept quiet. And then later on that day, Abu Darda came home radhiyallahu anhu, and he brought some food for Salman al-Farsi. So when he set out the food, Salman al-Farsi said to him, sit down and eat with me. So Abu Darda said, I am fasting. He said, I don't care, you sit and eat with me. Break your fast. So he said, what kind of thing is this? I'm telling you I'm fasting. He said, this is a Nafil fast, it's not Ramadan. So break the fast. Sit and eat with me. So Abu Darda, very reluctantly, he broke his fast and he sat and ate with Salman al-Farsi. Then in the night, they lay down to sleep, and Abu Darda was not, radhiyallahu anhu, was not lying down to sleep. Salman al-Farsi said, what happened? He said, I have to pray. He said, no, you finish praying, Isha and all is over. He said, still lie down to sleep. So Abu Darda radhiyallahu anhu lay down for a while. Then he started to get up. Salman al-Farsi said, where are you going? So Abu Darda radhiyallahu anhu said, I'm going to pray Qiyamul Layl. He said, no, lie down, sleep. So Abu Darda radhiyallahu anhu lay down and slept for a while. Then he got up. Salman al-Farsi said, where are you going? He said, I'm going to pray tahajjud, qiyam al-layl. He said, no, lie down, sleep. He said, Abu Darda, radhiyallahu anhu, obviously, this is like oppression, you know. So he lay down and slept. Then towards the third part of the night, Salman al-Farsi radhiyallahu anhu also got up, Abu Darda also got up, radhiyallahu anhu, and they made wudu and they prayed tahajjud. And then they went to the masjid for Salatul Fajr. Now, as we know, it was the practice of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. After Salatul Fajr, he would turn around, he would sit, and he would talk to people. So when the time came, Abu Darda radhiyallahu anhu said, Ya Rasulullah, I have got a complaint against my brother Salman. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, what happened? He said, he is oppressing me. He said, how is he oppressing you? What did he do? He said, I was fasting, he made me break my fast. I wanted to sleep, pray in the night, he makes me sleep, he doesn't allow me to pray. He said, what is this? This is like, you know, musibah. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam asked him, and see the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he didn't ask Salman al-Farsi, he asked Abu Darda, he said, did he give you a reason? He said, yes, he gave me a reason. He said, what's the reason? He said, he says to me that your body has a right on you, and your Rabb has a right on you, and your family, your wife has a right on you. So he said, give everyone their rights equally. Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, what your brother Salman told you is correct. Now, my point is, what kind of brotherhood is that? That Salman al-Farsi radiallahu anhu feels comfortable to do this kind of thing. Now, today, we have friendship, close friendship and so on. I mean, how many of us have the comfort with our friends to be able to do this and get away with it, in the sense that the friend is not offended? Here also, Abu Darda radhiyallahu anhu, he was not offended with Salman al-Farsi radhiyallahu anhu personally. He just objected because I want to pray, the man does not allow me to pray, so what kind of thing is it? But that was the brotherhood that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam had created. How did that happen? We'll talk about that tomorrow and so on, inshallah. Then I'll tell you some more incidents about the Sahaba. And that's the reason why it is so important to study the seerah of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and study the seerah of the Sahaba, Rizwanullahi Alayhim Ajmain, so that we get an understanding of this beauty of this deen. So let us reflect on this, inshallah. We ask Allah to open our hearts and understanding to what is the meaning of brotherhood. What is it that takes people with completely different identities, totally disparate people, and brings them together to such a level of friendship and understanding that they truly become brothers of one another, and they are concerned about each other's welfare. This whole story of Salman al-Farsi radhiyallahu anhu, what is Salman al-Farsi radhiyallahu anhu's niyya in all of this? Is the benefit of Abu Darda and his family. He wants them to be happy, husband and wife, and he wants Abu Darda radhiyallahu anhu to be doing the right thing. That is his concern. Otherwise, what does he care? I mean, the man is praying or not praying, or you know, his wife is happy with him or not, that's his problem. It's not my problem. But that is not the case with, in this case. Here, Salman al-Farsi radhiyallahu anhu's concern is that my brother should be happy and he should be good in his dunya wal akhirah. That is the concern. How does that concern happen? How do we give that precedence? We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to understand these things and to enable us to try to practice them in our lives. وصلى الله على نبي الكريم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.